Hey everyone, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shaw.
And in today's episode, we're going to talk about crisis and how to manage a crisis when you're running a startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
And we want you to do your best.
Yeah. And this topic came up just because I have some friends going through a bunch of crisis, and you know, I'm not going to even mention what they are, anything like that. And what I realized is that whether I haven't really thought about it on my end about, is there a framework or is there some way that I try to deal with it myself or help somebody through it? But what I realized is there's always patterns, right? When you're helping people with a crisis. So, you know, and for context, I know we talked about how to shut down your company recently.
Yeah.
So I wanted to sort of broaden it and say, you know, crisis happens all the time. I'll mention some that have happened in my companies. These are all Kissmetrics ones, and then we can get into kind of how to deal with it because I've definitely had to learn the hard way. One of the first problems that happened at Kissmetrics was that in about, I think it was 2011. Yeah, it was my 30th birthday. So it was like a day or two before, or right on the day, I don't remember. We got hit with a class action lawsuit that was us and 25 customers. And I know I've talked about this off and on. And in that case, it was a crisis. Like you basically are, you know, out of nowhere, sideswiped, you know, almost like a car accident, a really bad one. And you're sitting there, the car's flipped over. You're probably generally okay, let's say in this case, because nobody got hurt, but you have all this stuff to deal with, right? Maybe there's someone else in the car, they got hurt or whatever. So those are the kind of things it feels like it came out of nowhere and you're shocked. So that's one example. Another example is a few years later, we actually had our lead investor at Kissmetrics, who was on our board, basically leave his firm. So what happens when that happens and you raise money is that your company becomes orphaned. And it really depends on the rest of the partnership to pick it up and say, oh, we're going to support you or not. And that can be a really, you know, a crisis moment. And another one, which never really happened to us, but I've commonly dealt with it with founders, is when like their largest customer leaves them and that customer makes up 30, 40% of revenue. And obviously you're banking on that kind of revenue. And that one's kind of easy. You know, I'm sure Stelly, you'd say something like this, which is like, well, why'd you get in a situation where that customer takes up so much of your revenue that if you lose them, you're screwed? So there's a lot of, and in all of these, there's a lot of preventative stuff you can do. So we can even get into that side of it. And with that, I'll stop and see what you have on this topic, because obviously I want to hear what you have.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is like the thing I was thinking about as you were explaining kind of these different scenarios is that what, like even asking the question, what makes something a crisis in the first place, right? Because there's lots of challenges. There's lots of problems that a business has. But what qualifies a situation as a true crisis? And as you were describing these things, and we had an episode, episode 84, we talked about firefighting. And I was even like in my mind distinguishing what would you label kind of a fire in the business versus a crisis. And from what I heard, if I try to define a business crisis, the elements of it would definitely be kind of very sudden. And then like both sudden, it's urgent, and it's very important. Like you can't ignore it. And the consequences are kind of quote unquote life or death in the business context. Like a customer leaves that makes up 50% of your revenue. That's a life or death moment for the business. You know, you're being sued. It's a life or death moment for the business. So these are, it's not the same as a really great employee left, or an engineering team has having issues, or the co-founders are fighting. All these things could turn into a crisis, but they're not a crisis if they're not like life or death right now, and it came out of nowhere. Independently from if the quote-unquote nowhere was something that still people could see coming, or you could have done prevented by anticipating it, but it pops out, it surprises you, and it's kind of a life or death moment. Would that be is that a definition that makes sense to you?
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, and oftentimes it's like you get hit with it and you think it's a life or death moment, right? So in hindsight, all of those things that I mentioned, none of them, actually the company's still around. So none of them would have killed the company, right? And did kill the company. It's still around.
Yeah.
It definitely hurt growth in the company, you know, in huge ways. So I wouldn't argue with that. But in the moment and for days, sometimes weeks after, it felt like, you know, we were going to die. Like this thing's done. And yet you're still in it and you have all these responsibilities to investors, if you have them, your team, obviously, and you know, your customers, which is kind of a pattern we've always talked about, you know, and those responsibilities end up what bubble up to your mind. And then you're like, oh my God, you know, so that's another layer of it. So I would say, first of all, if any of those things ever happened to me again, or even other things that I immediately felt like, oh, we're done, I would step back and be like, wait, we've been done before and we weren't done, you know? And what my goal of this episode is really to give people better tools around not feeling like that and making sure that they understand they can get through it, you know, and whatever's going to happen, they can accept. Because unless you can accept that there's a, in this scenario, there's a bunch of stuff you can control and a whole bunch of stuff you can't, I don't think you get to a good place. And so there's a bunch of those things that I've been thinking about. But really, it's about having better tools when you're hit with a crisis. And your definition of crisis is spot on, except for one thing, which is it's probably not as bad as you think.
All right. So let's talk about the tools. And funny enough, like in episode 119, which was a recent one, we talked about kind of you launch a product and no one bought, what now is the title of the episode. But the inspiration for it was really a founder that thought she was in a crisis. And after a conversation, it turned out it's not quite a crisis yet. Like there's definitely a challenge. It's definitely something that was a launch and a certain expectation of what would happen in terms of conversion numbers and how many people would buy and become customers. And that didn't manifest. So that's definitely something that needs to be addressed. But it's not like the company had enough money in the bank, and there's still lots of opportunities, assets, and things, and time. So it was not life or death right now. And the founder at first felt like that. So even just realizing that it isn't a crisis, like, so first let's talk about the how do you know it's a crisis, and then if it's truly a crisis, how do you deal with it? What are the tools for you to actually like work through it?
Yeah, so I think there's really simple stuff like, is this going to matter in X amount of time? So a week from now, is this still going to matter? A month from now, is this still going to matter? 6 months from now, how important is this going to be? Right? So some of those things, depending on obviously the crisis you feel like you're in, can help you just calibrate and get back down to earth. Obviously, another tactic would be just tell someone, you know, who is somewhat independent of the situation, who you feel like is a stable person, right? Somebody who kind of either has been through a lot of, you know, hardship or crisis, or is someone who just is your rock, you know, like your mother, father, grandma, sometimes relative, best friend, whoever, and just tell them what happened. Sometimes you might want to immediately do that just so that you can calibrate yourself about how bad is this. So most of the tactics I would suggest first are to determine how bad is this really? Is it worse than I think or better than I think? Because sometimes these crises are actually worse than you might think, and you don't want to ignore that either. And without having some outside independent perspective, it can often be hard to get out of your own head.
Yeah, I love that. So step number one, bringing somebody as a sounding board, maybe that's independent, you know, maybe that doesn't have any kind of direct stakes in your company. Ideally, that has a lot of experience, maybe also with a real crises at their company, and just find people to be a sounding board and to get some feedback on that and get some calibration on your reaction. Let's say that, and then I like the tool of like, you know, is this still going to matter in a certain amount of timeline? One thing that I would add to that is just the question, okay, if we don't deal with this problem in a long enough timeline in a business, if you don't deal with some fundamental problem, it might turn into like the end of the business. But how long is that timeline? If you're like, okay, if we don't deal with this in the next 3 years, we're going to be done. That's not a crisis, right? Versus if we don't deal with this, we have 3 weeks left. Now that's a crisis, right? If the amount of time you have to fix the problem, to fix the issue is fairly short and the consequences are basically life or death for the business, I think that qualifies for it. So let's say somebody goes through kind of these calibration methods and figures out, yes, we're in a real crisis. We don't do something about this problem. Our business is going to be done in whatever, in a month, in 2 months. Let's take the scenario. I like that actually, the scenario of, you know, our biggest customer canceled and we basically got a massive drop of 50% of revenue, and with all these employees and we don't have enough money to finance the business for longer than 2 months, how do we fix this, right? But it could be any situation. It could also be the, like, you're being sued. It's just that I feel like people are not, most startups are not being sued as much as they lose a really big important customer. But I might be wrong. I don't have any real research on this. But what's kind of the action steps when you are in a crisis? What are the tools you use, or what are the steps you take to deal with it? Because it seems like, you know, whenever I observe a crisis, it seems like there's some people that seem to snap into a sense of direction. Like they just take over the wheel and they are like, all right, this is, we need to do A, B, C, and D. And this is the decisions that we need to figure out. And this is the steps we need to take. These are the people we need to talk to. This is the timelines we have to get all this done. Let's go. There's some people that seem to know how to snap into like a frame of mind that's really productive to turn something around or fix a crisis, versus many people in a crisis, they freeze, right? They just literally, not just they don't do the right thing, they just don't do anything. And they don't know what to do because it feels so overwhelming. They're so scared maybe of that moment, the holy shit, we're going to be done in a month if we don't fix this. Oh my God. And then they just freeze. So what makes the difference between people that snap into action and that freeze? And what are the tools we can give to people so that more people can snap into action and manage a crisis successfully?
Wow. I think it's, you know, there's a line, I don't know who said it, but it's basically like, it's never as bad as it seems. And it's never as good as it seems either. Yeah. And so that kind of thing comes to mind, which is like, I'll tell you what happens. One of my friends is in a pretty big crisis right now, and him and his partner are like pacing around their room, you know. And I was on the phone with him, and this is what actually was one of the things that caused me to want to discuss this with you. And I just told him to go for a walk. I said, "Stop pacing around the room. Go outside. Go for a walk." And right away, my friend's like, "Yeah, I'm going to go take my dog. We're going to take my dog for a walk." And that's what they needed to hear. That's what they needed to do, because you're pacing around your house and room. All you're thinking about is basically all these things that you can't control, all these what ifs. So you got to kind of like get rid of the what ifs. So one approach you can take, you know, obviously go walk, and that'll probably at least help you calm down. But when you come back and you're done with that, like, you know, you can get out of your own head basically, or your own heads, then sit down and write all those what ifs, right? Write all those things that might happen that are, you know, that you think are going to happen in your head, write them down and go actually, you know, put reality against them and say, well, out of all these things that might happen, what are likely to happen? What are things we can actually control and change? And I think I would start having whatever tools, whatever tactics you can use to get out of your head, put it on paper, put it, you know, on your computer, and literally start actually trying to calculate and understand like what's actually going on. Am I overreacting about this? And then the most powerful thing, and I know I might be skipping ahead on this, is like, what can I do about it right now? And is there anything I can do about it right now? Because if the answer is no, you can't do anything about it right now, then like take the day off, go do something else. You know, usually there's one single next step you can take. For example, when we got hit with that class action lawsuit, after I went for a walk and wrote some stuff down, talked to some people on the team and, you know, all that, the one obvious thing was, let's go find the best lawyers. Let's go find the best lawyers. And what we ended up finding is the lawyers, because we asked our friends and really got into action, and we found lawyers who had defended companies against these class action lawsuits from the same exact folks. And they weren't cheap, but we found them. And as a result, like 2 years later, we actually had the best outcome we could have possibly had, considering our business and all that stuff. But it was 2 years later, so, you know, it sucked. But, you know, what was only one action to take? Find the best lawyer and get their advice and start paying them. We had no other option at that point. And we know, and in that case, we had the cash. We didn't have the cash allocated to that problem, you know? But once we started getting there, we talked to lawyers. They're like, "Do you have insurance?" "Actually, yeah, we do have liability insurance." "Great." Then we went in and looked at the liability insurance stuff. You know, and this was the first time something like that's happened. Nobody else had told us about, you know, looking into our liability insurance. Somebody, we had gotten lucky years ago and gotten liability insurance in that company. So one tip, if you've got a business or making some amount of money that's, you know, in a reasonable range, go figure out how to get some simple business liability insurance. It's thousands of dollars a year, not that much money actually in the grand scheme of things. And it can really help you. We had good coverage and all that. And that insurance was definitely something we had a battle with, but they were extremely helpful in that situation. So, you know, I would say that like there's always a single next step or absolutely nothing you can do, and you just have to wait. And getting to that is really important, as fast as possible.
Yeah, I like that. So there's a number of things here that I want to comment on or add on. So first of all, I love that picture of like two people, two founders, like pacing around a room in circles, and kind of the metaphorical problem that it creates for the mind to come up with solutions when you feel trapped in a room, right? You're just walking around, you feel like you're walking in circles. It's stupid, but sometimes like if you're hit with a crisis, a lot of times your first response will be an emotional one, and that emotion will translate into a physical response, right? You will feel something in your gut. You will feel horrible, depressed. It will manifest itself in a physical way for you. So sometimes the best first thing in order to think clearly and be able to address the issue is to make sure that you are putting your body back into a state where it can like think clearly and fix things. So going to the gym or going on a run or even going on a long walk, get fresh air, be out of the office, out of that kind of boxed environment, that in itself seems trivial, but it can make a dramatic difference, right? If you're all curled up in a corner and you're physically feeling horrible, it's going to be almost impossible to come up with a good solution in that physical space. So although it sounds like it's trivial, I do think it's important sometimes to make sure you're physically in a good state so you can be mentally at a good state to come up with solutions and fix things. So I love that part of it. The other thing is writing down, and a lot of times what I've done most successfully in a crisis situation is, you know, I get myself to some kind of a place where I can be productive. I bring in the right people. And usually I've always had people that I've done business with that were very different, or some people, I'm more of an emotional guy. So I partner up with people that are very rational, maybe a little bit kind of more calculated in their approach. So I'll bring in some people like that, and then we'll have a whiteboard session and we'll just write down, okay, we're fucked. Here's the reason why. Here's the consequences of it. Okay, and now, what is everything we could do? What are all the potential possible scenarios of what could happen next? What can we influence? What can't we influence? Out of all the things we can think about doing right now, what is the timeline that all of these items would take? What's the likelihood that we can execute this well or not? How do we prioritize and weigh these different action items? Who could do what? Do we need help, or do we need expertise, or do we know somebody or can find somebody that has gone through this exact scenario recently so we can learn from somebody else's mistakes or successes and utilize their experience to put together a better game plan? Like, you just think through everything you can very rationally, and then you just decide, okay, what needs to happen next. And then the other thing I love about what you just said in the way that you dealt with it is that oftentimes when there's a real crisis, it is a crisis for you because you've never been in this situation. Or if it's a crisis that seems overwhelming rather than just, oh shit, we're in a bad situation, but we know what to do to get out of it. If you're in a bad situation and you don't know how to get out of it, more often than not, it's because you've never been in a situation like this before. It's not that it can't be fixed. It's just you don't know how to fix it, or you don't have confidence in the solution you can come up with because you've never gone through this and survived. So when you are in a situation like that, oftentimes you really want to just take one step at a time, because every step you take and every action you take might open up new doors, add information, add context to the situation, and then make things easier. So in your guys' situation, you're like, oh shit, we have this lawsuit, we have no fucking idea how to deal with this. Well, we could brainstorm or worry or come up with all kinds of things, but one thing is clear. We need a lawyer. We need somebody who knows what's up in these situations, that's gone through it, that can advise us, that can tell us how bad is the situation really, what's really going on, because we don't have any expertise or experience in this. So let's not worry about any of the details other than the one detail that truly matters. Let's try to find the best lawyer possible. And then once you get that person is like, well, the two things you have to worry first is, do you have insurance? And how about this? And then you go, well, we didn't think about that. So let's go and figure that out. And then every step of the way, it becomes much more, it's not as overwhelming because you're not attempting to solve the whole thing in one big step. You're just taking these baby steps that shine a light on where the next step should be. And then eventually you see, oh, we've taken all this journey and we know now where we're going. So oftentimes in crises, you don't have to worry about everything that needs to happen. You just need to worry about what are the next immediate one or two steps that could get us more clarity, more ideas, more resources. Where do we need to go? Who do we need to talk to? And that alone, if you take these steps quickly, you talk to people that have more experience or expertise in this type of situation, they'll give you advice and they'll be able to guide you through like the steps you have to take, the work that you have to do and check off in order to manage that crisis and deal with it.
Yeah, I really like it. I mean, you know, the line that comes to mind, and I guess this is going to be my tip because I'm jumping ahead today, is just go back to basics. Just try to figure out what are the fundamentals of the situation. Like, you know, when we got hit with the class action lawsuit, it was simply like, well, we're getting sued. It's over some technology we implemented, and there's 25 customers that are also getting sued, and it's likely they're going to get notices too. So one of the first things we have to do is, in one way of the basics are, who's going to be impacted? And so, yep, we're impacted. Our teams, and we meaning founders, executives, teams impacted, customers are impacted in that case. So one of the first things we did is prioritize who do we care about? And we put customers at the top because without customers, we have no business. And we also had one issue at that time, which was there was no way we were going to let our customers go down for something we caused. And that was what was in front of us. So we started having the hardest, my co-founder and I split the conversations and as soon as possible within, you know, right away we emailed them and let them know what was going on and told them, you know, we're going to go get counsel, right? And figure out what to do here because this is going to impact you to some extent, right? Some of them actually like had papers served to them in front of their family for some reason. And that was something we had to deal with. And then within 2 weeks, we had talked to all of them on the phone. If they wanted to, all of them did, and told them what was up, introduced them to our lawyers, introduced them to options. But literally within 2 weeks, we had this main constituency that was going to be impacted that we thought was most important as good as we could do. Like, obviously, you know, not all of them were happy, but it's business, right? And there's a business problem. And all of them respected that part of it. And some of them were like the largest companies, you know, out there in terms of startups at the time. And that was hard. But we just went to action once we realized, what are the basics here? Who are we impacting? Who matters the most? And then start focusing on them. You know, and usually it's not you. It's like your customers, your executive team, you know, your investors, somebody else, not you. And that can be helpful too, because then you can get out of your own head and figure out who else is impacted and what do we need to do for them. That's just my normal attitude. So it might be easier, I would say, for me and our teams than other folks, but that is the right approach, in my opinion.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's super valuable. So my tip on this, I think that, so my tip is going to be like, if you need to find a balance between two things. When you're in a crisis, you need help. It's very rare that one individual can fix all the problems or fix a crisis or turn a crisis around on their own. You're probably going to need, you know, your co-founders, you're going to need maybe an investor, you're going to need some advisors or some, you know, experts like a lawyer or an accountant or somebody else. You're going to need other people. And eventually you're going to need, you know, your teammates and your customers and whoever, like you're going to need others to help, usually in a crisis in one way or another. So don't try to turn around the crisis or fix it or manage it by yourself. You will need other people. So reach out for help. At the end of the day, you also are going to need to be the captain of that ship. Somebody is going to have to be the one person that quote unquote manages the crisis. The person that goes out and asks people for help, coordinates all the information, all the people, all the resources, sets a plan for action, helps people, you know, take that action and then guides along the way and checks if it's going the right way or not. Somebody needs to be that central figure. So a lot of times I see founders either not asking for enough help and they try to figure out all on their own and do all the steps themselves and do all the research themselves. And all they do is they waste time. And they go and learn things the slow and painful way and overwhelming way versus just have a 5-minute call and get all the answers from somebody who knows already. And they try to hide that crisis from their teammates or the people that work for them. And those people all pick up on it. They pick up that there's something going on, that something is bad, and that they all feel it without having an outlet to help. So all it does, it creates issues and it makes the crisis bigger and less likely to not impact you in a really negative way. So you need to ask for help. But then there's the other flip side. Sometimes, more rarely, I see founders that do ask for help a bit too much. So these are the people who will go out and ask everybody for their opinion, everybody for what they would do. And then all it does, it makes them feel even more overwhelmed, and it makes them feel even less sure about what they should do, because this person said they would do this versus this other person says something else, and they don't want to make up their mind. They're afraid of making a final decision or being the person that's going to own all the responsibility for ultimately what's going to happen. So they're in going and asking for help, what they're really trying to do is give somebody else the responsibility for it. That's obviously also not going to work. You can't fix a crisis by committee. You can't have like 20 people sit on a table and vote on how to fix a crisis and like manage the crisis in a committee situation. It's not going to work. So the buck stops with you. You need to own the crisis and manage it, but you also need to use any and every help you can and ask other people to form a team around you that will help you master that crisis. That's my kind of overall philosophy on this and final tip for the episode.
Yeah, you can even call them something like, these are my crisis advisors.
I like that. Yeah.
You know, and these are the people we go to, or you could do a committee. This is the crisis committee, right? Whatever it takes to like rally the people you need to and get their help. So I really love that. In our case, we had that in the equivalent of executive team at the company. We also, the first thing you said, I just want to double down on that. My co-founder, Neil, once the conversations with customers were done and it was mostly a legal problem, he literally, I want to say 99% handled all the legal completely on his own. So we definitely took that approach.
Yeah, I love it. All right, that's it from us for this week.
Crisis management. Talk to you later.